Good morning. Thank you, Michael, for those selections. Good, very good call for the Give Me the Bible invitation song. Want to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We've got a number of visitors with us. Have a family from Alabama. I was telling them that they just missed David Phillips, but we're very glad to have you here. It's nice to see Mark and Jan with us again. I don't even like to call them visitors anymore. They're part of us. They go every so often back to the East Coast, but they're members of us here. I want to go ahead and get into our lesson. It's titled The Bible. It's one of the main pillars of why we even come together. That, you know, one, our faith in God, our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, but the idea that we follow the teachings of the Bible. And I would like for us to look at a number of different issues. One, that it's inspired by God, that it makes us complete. We're not lacking anything through the Bible. It has some uncomfortable truths, some things that is not necessarily easy, but because they're from God, we need to do. And that in the end, it's going to judge us. And a lot of times, I see people, not necessarily us, but I see people discounting the Bible. Maybe putting it on the same plane as man-made and man-written books. And that's a dangerous position. I'm sure we run into people in our everyday life that probably has that attitude toward the Bible. I'd like for us to look at these. The first one, it is inspired by God. The Bible that is just such a foundation of what we believe and what we hold near and dear, it was not written by men. There are many religious-minded people that may be even meeting this very moment that are going by books that were written by men. And that's sad. It's scary. But this was inspired by God Himself. And because of that, it is truth. We don't have to worry about is it true or not? Can we count on it or not? And it is without error. It's not one of those things that it changes with time or changes with culture or anything like that. I can't keep track of a lot of the things like eggs. Are we on the roller coaster? Are they good for us now or are they bad? You know, it seems to change all the time. Butter. Well, I'm not changing. I'm not changing my stance on butter to begin with. So you can give me all information you want. I'm sticking with butter. But the bottom line, it's without error. We don't have to worry about, well, what's the new flavor of the week type situation? And it is a timeless message. Yes, and we've used examples before. I think one of the examples that come to my mind most readily is, yes, God told Noah to build an ark. He didn't tell us to build an ark, but the principles of that account are as alive today as it was the day that Noah received that information from God. And the message in the Bible is timeless. It doesn't change with the calendar year. It doesn't change with culture. It doesn't change as people change. I'd like for us to look at a few scriptures. The psalmist in 119 verse 105 said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's what guides us. God's word is what guides us in our lives. Yes, there are some things that man can say. Yes, we can get some assistance from man-made books in regards to this, that, and the other thing. But it's God's word that guides us. And that's what we want to be following. Our scripture reading that Jeff read, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul was putting an exclamation point on this when he was telling Timothy. Timothy had been given a great deal of charge by Paul to do various things. And he's reminding Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. This verse 16 says so much that it's profitable for doctrine, that there is such a thing as doctrine. And there's such a thing as false doctrine. It's not just that thing, truth is for you different than truth for me. Wouldn't that be nice? That just, you know, what people are saying, and I don't know if people realize this or not. The people that advocate that attitude that truth is relevant basically are advocating chaos. They're advocating just open up the doors, do whatever you want. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Apostle Peter would write in 2 Peter 1, says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Have you ever heard somebody say, well, that's how you interpret it? No, the Bible either says it or it doesn't. Now, we may not understand it properly, but the thing, well, that's how you interpret it. There's one interpretation. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hence, man-made religious works were not endorsed by God. Another thing that the Bible does, it makes us complete. God just didn't wind us up, put us here, and say, good luck. Have fun. Right when you get work. It makes us, the Bible, God's left a little bit of himself with us. It makes us complete, and it includes everything we need. We do not need continuous, constant revelations. Well, God, what about this? What about that? It's in there. But God, what about this? It's in there. But did you think about it? It's in there. It's for us to find it. And it equips us to be of service not only to God, but service to others. It gives us everything we need to be loving, obedient, faithful, sound followers and believers of God. Again, our scripture for the day. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete. Some translations might have perfect. Perfect as in complete, not perfect, sinless. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That we don't have to fight this fight and run this race unequipped, trying to seek out the best things that we can do on ourselves. That it fully equips us to do the service that God requires us to do. In 1 Peter 1, Peter makes the point, and he's referring to Old Testament scripture. He says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Peter is not telling you anything different than what was preached. He's just passing that same information on. The same information that we receive today is the message that Peter shared with people. And in 2 Peter, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Amen. Through that knowledge of the Word of God, that knowledge that has been preserved divinely by God in the Bible for all these years, we can study it fresh and new today, just as the day Peter penned those words. He would say in chapter 3, talking about, and Preston was referring to this passage in his Bible class this morning, talking about the beloved Paul. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand. Peter was acknowledging some of the things Brother Paul teaches are hard to understand. Not impossible, hard to understand. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. A lot of people are scripture twisters. They spend a lot of time trying to pound that square peg in a round hole, trying to twist and squeeze, trying to make something say something it doesn't say. And Peter was saying, you know, Brother Paul, some people misunderstand some of the things he says. They try to twist it into saying something that it really doesn't. And that's why he told Timothy, I tell you, I wish we had a dollar for every time this scripture, we could retire. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how important. God has given us that his word, the Bible, and rather than trying to twist it, we study it. Rather than trying to make it say something that it does, we study it to understand it so we can rightly divide and stand for the truth. Amen. Another thing the Bible does is it includes some uncomfortable truths. Just a side note on this. If it was written by man, I know if I was written, I would have made it a lot easier. I would have made it a little bit more cotton candy-ish. But it includes some things that we have to do. It requires things from us. We might have, and again, going back to Preston's Bible class this morning, it requires us to break from some of our traditions. When we come out of maybe the denominational world and become a Christian, sometimes we're dragging that religious baggage with us. Just like we were talking today in Bible class, that some people were wanting to continue and were teaching, you've got to continue with the Jewish practices. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep these dietary and religious festivals and all that stuff. We might have to break from some of that old religious baggage, some of the old worldly baggage that we want to bring with us. So I tell you, when we became a Christian, we were of the world longer than we've become a Christian. And we might have to break with some of those things that we were used to doing. Break some bad habits. Another uncomfortable truth is the Bible defines what salvation is. Right or wrong, good or bad, it's God's word. He created everything. He has the right to require what salvation is. It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion or negotiation. And the Bible has some uncomfortable truths. In Matthew 7, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching the multitudes. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. That's right the opposite of what many of the denominational world preaches. Just believe. Everybody and everybody's gonna make it. We're all going to the same place. We're just getting there in different directions. Have you ever heard those things? We're all going to the same place. We're just taking different routes. That's not what Jesus is saying here. There are two gates, a narrow gate, which is hard to get into, and there's the wide gate that the majority will fall into. He goes on to say in verses 21 through 23, speaking to the same people, says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven requires some stuff. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? There is no doubt that those things that they're coming to. Those are good things to do. But he answers them and says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Not depart from me, you who stumble once in a while but are on the path and keep trying to do it right. You practice. You live it. Think you're doing something right, but I never knew you. You never were one of mine. Mark 16:16, Jesus puts it pretty clear. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. I've seen a lot of arguments trying to dance around that one. And that's exactly what it is. They're trying to dance around it. Jesus, if you don't like what Jesus says, I promise one day you will get a chance to take it up with him. I will tell you this. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm just me. If you try to argue the other side, I don't think it's going to go well. Amen. So it'd be better to yield now while you got the chance. Because I don't think if you take it up with Jesus later, it won't end well for you or for anybody. And the last thing I'd like to look at, it's the Bible is going to judge us. And if it's going to judge us, it would behoove us to know what it says. It provides the unchanging standards of what to expect. Isn't it frustrating to maybe have multiple supervisors and they all expect different things from you? One boss overlooking something expects this, and you do it that way. But somebody else comes along and says, no, I want you to do it. But he said, okay, I'll do it this way. And then number three comes along, The Bible has unchanged. We don't have to worry about, are we up to date with the latest memo or not? Its standards are unchanging. In John 12:48, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which will judge him. The word that I have spoken and the word that has been recorded for us, that will judge him in the last day. Amen. And hence, we need to study it. First Peter, the Apostle Peter would say, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end? Here's a good question. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? That's a really good question. We know the answer. In Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Why? Lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Pause right there. And they have. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? They didn't share any different message than what was started out by the Lord. They just continued it on. And somebody continued that on to you for you to be saved.
That's right.
And hopefully we will send that very same message to somebody else. And hopefully allow them to escape and not be neglected that great salvation. And the last, closing up today, Paul would write to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, talking about that great and glorious day, that in flaming fire, taking vengeance on two types of people. Those who do not know God. The I didn't know is not going to be a defense.
Amen.
I didn't know. I wasn't aware. It's not going to be a defense. Those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been preserved for us by the hand of God all these years for us to have, study, follow, share today. The Bible. I know I overlook it sometimes. The power it has. The love that it has. The guidance it gives. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, like Jesus said, Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized. I would assume you all believe because you're here. You may not have been baptized. Don't fall into one of those that Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If there's sin in your life and you need to repent, we have that opportunity to do so. Whatever your need, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation song. And let's listen to the words as we sing this song.